This is Brian and Bobby Houston. They are selling everything, their big expensive house and everything inside of it. We're going to talk about how this theater of persecution, how it breaks the church, and what we can do to fix it. This is Church is Lame.
So the only thing I could think on your intro is, you know, from the good RoboCop. you know, the first one, yeah, where like you had the guy like, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So for those of you who are watching this show, like you're clearly aware of who Hillsong is as a church, as a worship money-making powerhouse, and the trials and tribulations of the Houston family, right? Brian was asked to step down or forced to step down because of knowledge of his father's indiscretions. It also turned out Brian had some indiscretions of his own, as we will come to see. And once Brian was out, Bobby, his wife, became redundant and unnecessary. So she was unceremoniously asked to step down as well. So it turns out that now they are liquidating their assets in what they would like us to believe is an emergency need to raise money. We recently, I don't remember, not recently, several episodes ago, we talked about Patagonia and kind of like the money machinations of the uber wealthy. I don't want to pretend to be a money expert, right? But for the uber wealthy actually own very little. What they do is they take all their money and the assets and they put it in trusts, right? And so now there's this legal entity that has all the stuff. So that way, if you get your butt sued to high heaven, the courts and the people suing you can't come for all the money and stuff because you don't have any money and stuff. All that money and stuff is in some sort of legal mumbo jumbo asset, right? And so what's happening here seems to be Brian and Bobby taking stock of what assets they have that aren't protected by the trust, trying to liquidate it so they can take that money and put it into a protection like a trust. So that's what's happening here. And then they can kind of go on TBN and CBN and they can go on their guest lecturing tour all around the U.S., but mostly to all those Bible Belt states that are exactly who you think they are. And they can get up in front of a camera and go,
guys, we're hurting so much. We need your help. If you could just get out your credit card and support us for $20 every month, that would be such an incredible blessing and would continue the work of the kingdom.
All the while, this money is just coming in. And it's your money that's paying their legal fees and not, you know, they are in no danger of losing any money or assets on their own.
Yeah, it's like when you have people with wealth that suddenly begin to liquidate assets, like that tells me that they're trying to do something shiesty, regardless of what's going on that we know about, or, you know, it's like you're suddenly trying to convert everything to liquid assets so you can do something else with it. Like it tells me you're trying to get rid of it and you're trying to basically do what for like you or me would be considered money laundering, but the rich have actual ways of laundering their money.
Yeah.
and hiding it.
Yeah. It's rich Christian people acting as if they have no concept about the spiritual value of money, right? Mm-hmm. All they're looking at is the monetary value of money.
What was the reason that they gave for this action?
You know,
did they give one?
They didn't really. They've kind of been leveraging social media and the fact that you can kind of just kind of put something out that should only take up somebody's attention for 5 or 10 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. So, hey, here's a cool picture of my husband's Gucci shirt rack, right? How would you love to own one of Brian Houston's Gucci shirts and be part of the Hillsong legacy? And that's all you need to know, right? Swipe up to the next interesting bit of dopamine TikTok goodness, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'd rather take one of his Gucci shirts and shove them into Brian Houston, but, you know... That's just me being very grumpy at this stage in the game.
Absolutely.
So, quite frankly, I'm tired of talking about Brian Houston and his wife, because they need to go away.
Yeah.
They can sell everything they own, give the money to the poor, and actually do something useful themselves.
Yes, I agree with you, and we're going to get there. But at the moment, like, Brian Houston, in one sense, let's be clear here. This is YouTube and podcasts, and we want people to watch our video and listen to our show, right?
Generally.
So if we're in the business of eyeballs, the Houston family delivers.
I guess so.
So, but then again, like, since the topic of the day is how do things break the church, the Houstons most definitely break the church over and over again. So we just talked about how the Houstons seem to be Christians who don't seem to be acting very Christ-like. But the other thing is that this is all pure theater, right? They are not suffering. They have plenty of money and assets. They're going to be fine. Their kids are going to be fine. Their kids' kids are going to be fine. The dogs and cats of their kids' kids are going to be fine, right? So nobody is in danger of not being fine. But we create this false perception that litigation and the threat of bankruptcy is coming. They use this as a means of laser identifying who is their cult following. And by having that list, that email list, that call list, that credit card list, they can keep going back and milking them and taking advantage of them. And like that woman who gave her last two pennies, and Jesus said, "What are you people doing building your church off the back of this woman?" The Houstons are doing the same exact thing. It doesn't matter how much money you don't have. As long as you have some credit cards with a little bit of money there, we're happy to take that money from you.
There is like this need for church leaders in general.
Yeah.
When they start to fall from the grace of, you know, millionaireship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that like they're not going to be millionaires. It's just like things are going downhill a little bit for them.
Right.
Like they freak out and they want to like, we're going to trust in God to get us through this. Like, no, you're trusting in your mutual funds.
Right.
To get you through it. I have no pity. I have no mercy for somebody who is going to go through bankruptcy when you begin with that kind of wealth and you're just a terrible hypocrite.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's if you were like a really wonderful and highly moral person and, you know, your money was going away, you wouldn't care.
Right.
You'd just be like, well, hey, the money's drying up. I guess, you know, I need to like, you know, stop eating, you know, $800 donuts or whatever you spend your money on.
It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance, right? And it is the repentant heart that endears mercifulness, right? When you find the person who acknowledges their wrongdoing, who turns away from it and is committed to doing right, that is the person where you can find your way easily to mercy.
Yeah.
Whereas the journey to mercy to the person who is unrepentant, to the person who believes that they've done no wrong, who believes they have nothing to make right, that's where you have to lean on justice, because they could care less about mercy.
Yeah, and I think like the reason like I use the word unmerciful is just because like sometimes somebody needs to suffer just the natural consequences of their actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's like it's perfectly fine to like say, hey, look, you're not going to suffer the consequences of your actions. I'm going to stop that. Mm-hmm. But other times it's like, yeah, they need to. This is one of those cases in which you had two people, which were removed from their positions of power in a large church.
Yeah.
Functionally a denomination of its own.
Right.
That wasn't enough of a clue to them. And, you know, rather than like taking time to see like, well, what have I done wrong in life? I really have no idea. Brian Houston was the kind of person that would like look at like, you know, like Hurricane Katrina and be like, well, that was God's judgment against, you know, New Orleans for being too licentious or whatever.
Right.
But there are a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
And those are the exact kind of people that will look at what's going on with the Houstons right now and look at them with pity.
Right.
Like, oh, look how bad things are going for them. It's like, no, like you call a hurricane judgment, but like you won't call what's actual judgment judgment.
Right. Yeah.
I find it frustrating because I want Brian Houston, maybe Bobby Houston needs it too, but I want him to learn and grow from this, but he hasn't.
Right. Clearly.
So it's like, so it frustrates me.
Yeah.
And I want to see him actually learn that lesson. and I don't want to wish every kind of evil in the world upon him, except that which is absolutely necessary to get him to wake up one day and be like, you know what, actually, I have been kind of a crap head.
Oh, and hey, as long as we're talking about learning lessons, if you're interested, we just put out an episode about having a teachable heart where we listed like 6 or 7 Bible verses that have to do just with that. So by all means, like, go back an episode or two and you'll find that. The last thing I want to say about how this breaks the church is that this behavior flies in the face of what Jesus clearly teaches us. You cannot carry your cross if you refuse to let go of your bags of gold, right? You've got to make a decision, right? And I'm not this guy. I'm not the guy who says faith, being a faithful Christian means being poor. Being a faithful Christian means not having any money saved up, not planning for the future, not having retirement. I'm not that guy, okay? I'm not the guy telling you that you have to live in poverty to live a spiritual life, right? But I am telling you, I believe Jesus that when he says, it's easier to thread the eye of a needle, for a camel to thread the eye of a needle, than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. There is something about money and the way money makes us feel safe and secure and the way that money handles all of our perceived needs that gives us confidence to step back from the provision and from the blessing of God. And I'm not a prosperity gospel person, right? I'm not the person that says, oh, if you just kind of give it all to God, God will give you all the desires of your heart. Because clearly there are people who love the Lord and who live in incredible poverty, who live in the worst conditions imaginable, right? So all I'm saying is that from a spiritual perspective, there is always this tension between money and faith. And you and I need to make sure that we are always mindful of that. And our faith is always preeminent over our money.
The way my brain was kind of thinking of it, it's like you're either a minister or a marketer. Mm. When the success of your church, when the growth of your church, and when I want to call Hillsong just a denomination.
They really are at this point. They are a global church network is what they would call themselves.
Network. That would be my point is, you know, like as it, when, if that succeeding makes you more wealthy, then there's no way for me to trust that what you're doing is in any way, shape or form done for the glory of the kingdom. But rather it seems like, you know, like, I forget where, but like Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you know, he's writing, it's like, yeah, I know that there's some people out there that are like complete, you know, complete just evil, wicked people, and they're preaching the gospel. But I am thankful that at least that message is still getting out somehow.
Right.
Which makes Paul a better person than me because I get way angrier.
I will say that when it comes on the distrust of money scale, you tend to kind of, you're at one of the one extreme.
I'm not going to deny that at all. But you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, growing one's ministry should not come with it a financial motivation. Right. And unfortunately, like with something like Hillsong, you know, where Brian Houston becomes wealthy off of the growth of it, you know, the question is not, you know, to me, like, well, you know, how much is God blessing him? It's how much is he blessing himself? Mm. And with him being removed from his position at his own, you know, church, you know, that's telling me that he was doing it more for himself than for the kingdom.
If you didn't know before, you can look at his behavior now and know for certain that it was about the money and not about the ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. I think that's a fair way to say it. So how do we fix this mess and heal what's broken? I've got a couple of ideas here. First, like, I know I am a proponent of when you see a problem, fix a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So Hillsong, like, they saw the problem and they expelled the Houstons, right? And on the one hand, that seems like obvious and good to do. Hindsight being 2020, like, we can't have this conversation about the Houstons without also dragging Hillsong through the mud, right? And so it might have been wisdom on their part not to have expelled him, but simply to say, we are benching you until this all gets sorted out. The reason being, they get to keep some sort of control of the narrative a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, now every time Brian Houston kind of goes off his crazy path, Hillsong gets drugged through the mud. And not that I feel bad for them, because once again, more money than the seas have water, right? But part of that stewardship of Christ's name is how do we handle these crises, right? And if you're like, they're basically not handling it at this point, right? This is just the circus come to town and nobody's in charge anymore. You know what I mean?
When I think about like, well, what can we do to fix this? I'm like, I'm not really sure, because, you know, Brian Houston and Bobby Houston are no longer Hillsong's responsibility.
Right.
But because of, you know, the Houston family having founded Hillsong, it is impossible for Brian Houston to do anything bad without it making Hillsong look like a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
So, you know, otherwise, like, I'd be like, yeah, you know, like, you know, accountability, you know, like, you know, transparency, all that good stuff that I would normally say. But like, in now, I feel like maybe the solution would be Hillsong kind of stepping up and maybe trying to kind of reestablish that relationship and kind of bring the Houstons kind of back into like a more of a, in a more sane place in their life.
Yeah. Christians need to find something better to think about and consume their time with than reading stories. If you have money in search of goods and services, do not send that money to Brian Houston and Bobby Houston. You know what I mean? There are plenty of great ministries and great nonprofits. And heck, chances are, if you find the part of your town that nobody wants to go into, chances are you'll find a few homeless people in need of a meal. You know? So why not go to Burger King or something and like buy them a meal? So if you have money in search of something to spend it on, don't spend it on the Houstons. If you have time in search of something to occupy it, don't occupy it on the Houstons, right? It's time to kind of take the air out of the balloon that is the Houston family and just kind of let them wither away into the history books.
And then, I think that works.
And then finally, let me also say this, in the spirit of compassion and in the spirit of mercy, withdrawal is a serious kick in the teeth. If you've ever been, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a drug addict, if you've ever been through a 12-step program, if you've ever been a supporter of somebody who's been a druggie, an alcoholic, or through drug 12-step program, you know that withdrawal is the worst process. It's the worst, right? But just like that person who's addicted to drugs or alcohol, the best thing that we can do for the Houstons is withhold from them the things they feel like they need the most to get their fix, which is money and attention, right? If you're really kind of doing that whole, well, we follow the headlines because we care and because we're praying for them and because we want what's best for them. Well, if you want what's best with them, then it's time to start withholding those things that they want the most.
That works for me.
All right. So I think we've beaten this horse enough. Although, hey, I'm always happy to beat a Hillsong horse. Let's be clear. Like when it comes to beating horses, there's few that I enjoy beating more than Hillsong. But Mark and I, we love God's church. We love God's people. We love this vehicle that God has created to bring healing and redemption to the world. But there is no doubt that churches and church leaders do the unfathomably stupid stuff that makes the whole kingdom look unfathomably stupid, right? So we just get here, we talk about it, we talk about how it breaks the church and how to fix it. If you've got something you want to say about Brian Houston or this kind of weird obsession we have with Christian celebrity and how we keep feeding it, we would love to hear what you have to say. By all means, if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment, hit that like button and subscribe and do all the clicky things. And if you're listening to the podcast, shoot us an email at churcheslanepodcast.com. And by all means, don't forget to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcast. Do it now. Do it now.
And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.